to the Social Media Church Podcast, the place for conversations with church leaders about social media. This is episode number 41, and I am your host, DJ Chuang. It is good to be back behind the microphone, having conversations with you about social media and the church. These past few days, I've been preparing and digging up all kinds of content for you about YouVersion, the Bible app that has taken the world by storm, and especially with the recent miniseries on television, on cable television, the History Channel premiered a Bible series that was promoted in various churches and various channels, and quite an engaging miniseries that highlighted certain themes in the Bible. And I only caught the first episode myself. If I can make a confession, I don't have a television here at home, and I had to go over to our clubhouse in the Homeowners Association and only caught the first episode. Maybe I'll catch the rest later. If you saw the miniseries, would love to hear your feedback in terms of what you thought. Certainly, it was trending on Twitter, hashtag the Bible, and there's certainly buzz all over social media about it. One of the things that YouVersion did was to feature their first television commercial about the YouVersion Bible app, also known just as the Bible app. On this episode, I was able to talk with my old friends at The Gathering, which is a community of Christian philanthropy, and they have been gathering major donors for well over a decade. And Fred Smith runs the organization based there in Tyler, Texas. And during my years of working in a private family foundation for about 10 years, I had a couple of opportunities to actually attend The Gathering as a foundation staff. And it is a very humbling experience to be there to see and meet people who are serious about stewardship, but yet very humble in going about their work in being strategic and being great stewards with all that God has entrusted to them. And they really want to make the most of all that they have been blessed with to make an impact in the world. And during their national conference in 2011, Bobby Grunewald was one of the presenters during their breakout session about social media. And a special thanks to The Gathering for the permission to share an excerpt from that presentation with you here on the Social Media Church. And actually, many of the audios and media from past conferences are online at their website, thegathering.com. And in that 2011 presentation by Bobby Grunewald, he shares the backstory of how the YouVersion Bible app came about, describes its history, development, and how it's matured and the impact it was having around the world. And since that time, the Bible app has continued to gain traction and reach more people, added more translations and added more languages. And I've lost count. There's an about page at Bible.com, which is their new home page, that they were able to get the Bible.com domain back in August of 2012. And what's cool, at the bottom of the Bible.com page, there's a live counter there with a number of installations of the Bible app around the world. At the time of this recording, over 87 million people have installed the Bible app. And you can imagine just the well over a billion minutes of Bible reading and Bible engagement that is happening through the YouVersion website, as well as the various Bible apps on all the different platforms. Bobby will share about all the behind-the-scenes work in the next 20 minutes. And on the other side of the presentation, I'll share with you some of the other great content that I found that will help inspire you and your innovation of how you're using technology and social media in your church. Here is the presentation, Joined in Progress with Bobby Grunewald at The Gathering 2011.
I began to attend a church called Life Church in 1999. My wife and I did. Fell in love with the church and And what God did in my life was basically called me to move from vocational business, which I was in, to a vocation in ministry at the church. So I've been there for 10 years. And my title is pastor and innovation leader, but it's best described kind of as like an entrepreneur in residence. So I just sort of dream up ideas that have kingdom impact. And the church and we as leaders are committed to investing a portion of the resources of the church into the missional use of technology and things that we give away freely. And I say entrepreneur, but it's all of our business model is basically free. So everything's free. We make everything we do available for free. But the story that Fred wanted me to talk to you about, and he's mentioned in, I think, the newsletter that went out, is a story about YouVersion, which was a scripture engagement tool that we're involved in. The story actually started in the O'Hare Airport, and I know there's supposed to be like an apostrophe in there or something, but I'm just kind of keeping everything lowercase except the word Bible. But in O'Hare Airport, I'm going through the security line back in late 2006, and I don't know what it is, but when I'm traveling, that's usually when ideas, you know, larger ideas kind of form for me and thought processes. And so I'm not sure why, but that's how it works for me. And I'm asking this question as I'm going through the security line, have no idea how I got to start to ask the question, but the question was kind of, what could today's technology mean for the Bible? And could we be at this point in history where the technology of today could impact the next couple of hundred years in a similar fashion to how the printing press impacted, you know, scripture years ago? Kind of fairly large type, big type questions. And if you take yourself back to 2006, the buzzwords that were being used at that time were terms like Web 2.0 was kind of the phrase, which really was describing a group of people that didn't just want to consume content or read things or watch things, but they wanted to contribute content. They wanted to write blog posts. They wanted to write comments and respond and make it two-directional. And this is really sort of the epicenter of where social media came from. It was basically people beginning to want to have conversations about content and want to really connect with it. And so the question was, how could today's technology impact Scripture? The answer that came in the security line was, what if we built a website that allowed people to take any type of web media and associate any type of web media with any portion of Scripture? So they could have this story that they're telling on video or on YouTube or a blog post or a website about what's happening in their life, but then they could go and draw the association to some passage in Scripture. Kind of a simple idea. Well, between the security line and the plane, I kind of said, okay, here's the idea. Let me think this through. Okay, I need a name for it. So came up with this name called YouVersion.com. So people say, where did you come up with the name? I came up with it between the security checkpoint and the gate at O'Hare Airport, and it had that much market research that went into it. We really thought that through. And in fact, I'm an activator, so not only did we come up with the name in that time period, but I actually opened up my laptop, connected to the Wi-Fi in O'Hare, and I registered the domain name before I got on the airplane. And so if you look at the registration for YouVersion.com, you'd see it's on that date is when we actually were there. And so, say it again. It wasn't taken. You know, actually, it's interesting. I like to get all the variations, right? So it's YouVersion.com.net. And I also looked at YouVerse, but at the time, for some reason, this AT&T company had YouVerse, you know, registered, wasn't using it, but it had this name, you know, reserved. And so I stayed with YouVersion. And so anyway, you get the idea. But yes, we were able to get it. Came back and really just began to process and kick the idea around to other people and ask, you know, the question of, okay, would this work and how would we go about doing it? And so it kind of sat as an idea, even though I activated quickly to kind of reserve the name, it kind of sat as an idea for about 6 months. And finally, after about 6 months of a lot of other things we had going on, you know, we were processing, I said, you know, we really need to do this. And so I began to explore exactly how to do that. I talked to a friend of mine, Mark Green, who's in the back here. You may know Mark, but Mark is in Christian retail, among other things that he's involved in. And I figured, well, someone knew something about the Bible and how to get, you know, access to the various texts and stuff, Mark would. So I talked to Mark, and I made a big discovery the process, which was that someone owned the Bible. See, that was kind of a new revelation to me back then. This tells you how ignorant we were in getting started with this, that I got a whole new understanding of all the publishers and all the rights that were involved and all the people that, you know, had owned it. And if I sound like I'm ignorant and was ignorant, we were sincerely novices or had no idea what we were, you know, getting into. But nonetheless, felt like it was something God was leading us to do. So we tried and built a website. And through Mark's help of making some introductions, we were able to connect with the publishers and get the rights to some of the Bibles at that point in time. And we launched this website, uversion.com, in September of 2007. The results of that were good, but not great, is how we would describe it. We saw about 20,000 people in the first 3 months that came and visited this website. And I say it was good because there were some people that really connected with it, but on a personal level, even though we built it, I didn't really use it. You know, I would like have to force myself to try to use it, and it wasn't something that came natural, you know, for me. And so we really pay attention to how we interact with things ourselves, and it just didn't feel like the type of thing that was going to really change the way people engage with Scripture. So later, a little bit later in early 2008, we launched a mobile website of it. And the only real difference was we took this website we built and said, can we design it to work on a mobile device so you can display it and see it and read it? And when that happened, there were really two things that we saw happen. One was our traffic on the website went up. And I, to be honest, I was a little bit surprised, because before we tried that, even though I thought it might be good, I was a little curious how a small screen like that would work for a book like the Bible. It just seemed kind of too small, you know, of an experience. But the other surprising thing was that we read the Bible more. I read the Bible more than I had before. The people on our team were reading the Bible more. And the only real variable that changed was that it was with us and available at any time, no matter where we were, because our mobile device, our phone, had really never left our side. I mean, even like last night when I was in the hotel, you know, room, it was sitting just a few feet away, and that's about as far of a distance as it usually gets. I'm not saying it's a good thing. It's just the way that culturally things have developed. And so we have a simple equation at our church, which is we see where God's moving and we do more of it and get behind it. And we see what's not working and where he's not moving, and we usually cut it or do less of it. And we just repeat that cycle over and over again. It's a pretty simple process. But when we see things like this, we say, okay, what else can we do? And right about that time, Apple, within weeks, maybe even days of that time, Apple announced that they were going to be opening up their smartphone, so you could develop applications that could go and be installed on the phone. It wasn't a new concept. Phones had been installing mobile applications for years. Many of you may have been involved in other projects to install phone applications, but Apple had a certain gravitas they could bring behind it that said, you know, we're going to create a new methodology of how you distribute the apps. We're going to create a, you know, we've collected this, you know, this ecosystem of phones, and we've kind of built this thing. So when they announced it and when they said that, that made it had more significance to it, and it grabbed the public's attention, and it grabbed our attention. So I had a 19-year-old kid on our team that was a big Apple fan and a developer on our team for other stuff. And I said, can we build an application for the phone? He said, sure, I'd love to. And I said, he said, but I've got a lot of stuff I'm working on. I said, I know. I need you to work on all that stuff, and we also need to build this application for the phone. So can you do it? He's like, sure. He was passionate about it, so he did it and worked part-time on it. And we launched that application in July 11, 2008, when the App Store launched. And there's a couple of significant things. If you're not familiar with it, this is what it looks like if you have it on your phone. Some people don't know the connection or know it's called YouVersion or tied to it, but they know the icon that's on their phone. And so anyway, that's what it looks like. But there's a couple of things that decisions that were made right before it, and really the way God works is pretty amazing. But the day before we submitted it, I read an article about a company that made some analytics code that you could put in your iPhone application that would tell you how people are utilizing the application, what they're opening, what they're reading, what they're doing with it. And so almost as an afterthought, I saw the article. I sent it to the team. I said, is there any way at the last minute we could put this in our app? And they said, sure, it's pretty easy. So we put it in the last day and then submitted it to Apple. That turned out to be probably the most key decisions that we made, and it wasn't with a lot of forethought, as you can tell. But because when it launched that September, that was a Friday, that September 11th was, and Apple really did not have any good way of giving you data about what was happening with your application. It was such chaos that was going on with all these apps and everything that they honestly didn't, that was the last thing they were worried about, is figuring out how to report to the app developers how many downloads they had or how many people use the app. And Apple just could tell you how many people downloaded. They couldn't tell any more about like how people were using it or whether they ever opened it again. They just tell you you had this many downloads. But what we saw through these this analytics company and the analytics we saw coming back was that in just 3 days, we saw 80,000 people install the application on their phone. If you'd asked me the day before, I would have thought it would have been a huge win if like a year from now we could have 80,000 people that would, you know, have downloaded the Bible. But more importantly than the number of people that installed it was the fact that people were using it. We're sitting there watching all of these people open the application, and we don't know John Smith. We're not tracking it by person, but we could see collectively how many times it was being opened and how long it was being used and what was happening with it. We saw this real sense of momentum that came around Scripture engagement, and it was surprising to us. And similarly, along that process of see where God's moving and get behind it or do more of it, that's exactly what we did. That was Friday through Sunday, and on Monday, that 19-year-old kid was on it full-time. It wasn't part-time anymore because, you know, we just don't want to wait any longer. This is what you're going to do full-time, and we've got to get an update done in a week, and we've got to get another update done, so the pace picked up pretty substantially. And to kind of fast forward, we basically went on then and created a BlackBerry application, and we were able to see it climb up the charts of BlackBerry to where it was actually the number 2 overall free app on the BlackBerry platform. And it was the Bible. I mean, it's very straightforward. I mean, it looks like the Bible. You can't mistake it to be the Bible. It's the Bible. And we did an Android app. And then basically today we have 9 different platforms, smartphone platforms, that cover most all of the world that the app is available on as far as smartphones. But the bigger thing that's really exciting from an engagement standpoint is not just that we've been able to see the Bible distributed, but today's technology it enables us to have awesome data and metrics about how people are using it and how we can make it better and how we can help people do what they want to do, which is read the Bible. And I say that because there are a lot of people that want to read the Bible, but their actions and the gap between that are pretty significant. And so we're trying to figure out how do we sort of help people do something that they want to do. And so we're able to track all sorts of things. This is an interesting, this is the thing I was actually working on last night before I closed it. This is a graphic that we did a little while back when we reached a milestone of 20 million bookmarks that people had made with the app. So they had bookmarked a passage and done that. And so basically, if you have an account, a free account on YouVersion, you can go through you know, when you bookmark it, it saves it on our servers, and so we know which passage got bookmarked. And if you go to your computer or to your phone or to your iPad or to another phone, your bookmarks and everything would stay with you no matter where you're at. Just a simple feature. But what we're able to see is, you know, the most popular day to bookmark is on Sunday. That's not a big surprise to us because we know there's a lot of use in churches. In fact, on a Sunday right now, we'll see around 2,200 requests per second to our servers on Sundays. It's a very high demand, you know. But there's a lot of hundreds of requests per second right now every day of the week. But that's on a Sunday. We also knew that this is basically as of December, we were doing 17,612 bookmarks per day, which is about 12.23 bookmarks per minute, and we had a total of 3.2 million bookmarks at that time. And so this is the type of data, though, that we can get. We knew that by June, you know, that number had grown by 400%, and it was 16 million, and it was basically a bookmark every second, 161 bookmarks a minute that are being made. Now, bookmarks are not kind of the key for engagement. It's just an example or a slice of the type of data that you're able to get and look at and analyze and do it. And as I was mentioning when I was looking at this, these are the top verses that are bookmarked, and that was what I actually programmed this to zoom in on, that Philippians 4:6. That's why it was significant, when that's what the verse was that someone mentioned to me the other night. But At that time, there was 40,000 people that had bookmarked that one verse that they thought was significant. Now, this is celebrating 20 million bookmarks, or I think we're about 29 million bookmarks today. And so it's the pace is picking up and it's growing and engagement's happening. But this is all what technology enables us to do. And I know many of you guys already know this, but it basically allows you to have better measurement of outcomes. You know, our goal was engagement, not distribution. We can measure distribution pretty effectively, but it's hard to measure what engagement looks like on the backside. And this is something that we've found. So real quick statistics. I talked about the number of devices. He said 25, and it's actually over 28 today. But more importantly, there's been over 11 billion minutes that have been spent using the phone or mobile application to read the Bible. And we're seeing a huge momentum with it. In fact, every second, we see one new person install it every single second if you average it out across the day. We see 23 people open it every second to use the app. So while we're sitting here, every second there's 23 people that are opening the Bible and beginning to read with it. One bookmark is created. 1.5 highlights are created, so you can highlight a verse, and that's a popular feature. And that's every second. And every 3 seconds, and this is where social media comes into play, one passage is shared. So every 3 seconds, someone is posting a verse to Facebook or to Twitter, and that where that they can take it and have a conversation about Scripture, in those contexts. This is very much one of the key drivers of why the entire thing is growing like it is, because if you imagine that there's 130, the average person has 130 friends on Facebook. And so there's the potential every time you post a verse every 3 seconds that there's 130 people that have an opportunity at least to see that verse. Not all 130 would, but have an opportunity to. And then sometimes there's a dialogue or conversation. If they click on the verse, they can find out more about the application as well as read the verse in context to the rest of the passage. And that really drives more interest and attraction because it comes through relationship, because it's basically an introduction to Scripture that comes through relationship. And so in 2011, we set out to look at the growth curve. And the thing I'm probably the most guilty of is never thinking big enough and never having enough faith. That's always been the plague of my life. But God's given us faith to dream for things that are fairly significant. So we've seen 28 million, but because I've tracked it against Facebook's growth curve, and it's tracking about 3 months ahead of Facebook's growth curve in the same time frame. It's not apples to apples, but it just presents a concept of a growth curve and sort of where it sits on it. And it's given us the faith to think there could be 500 million or maybe even 1 billion mobile devices that install the Bible and are using it on a regular basis. So I went and kind of looked at some things, and this is an old graph, but it shows Facebook's growth in the U.S. and it shows Facebook's growth globally. And so when you hear about Facebook's growth, it's really the blue line that's driving the growth and not the U.S., which makes sense to it. And so we knew that strategically we had to kind of move from the Bible being just in English, which was where most of our translations were, to it being in several different languages. So we partnered with the American Bible Society, and Mark Green has an initiative called Every Tribe, Every Nation, to basically try to get every Bible that in every language available within the Bible app for free, and then also focus on fully supporting 30 languages, which means we have tech support, we have every aspect of the app, of every communication that goes out, everything is available in all of those languages. And so that's what we've been working on. Today we fully support 8, and we'll support 12 by the end of the year, and 30 by the end of next year is kind of our plan. But we also plan to have Bibles in every language, even if it's not a language that we would quote-unquote fully support. But that would give you – this is an idea. We're in Chinese and both simplified traditional scripts, but all the apps, all the buttons, everything about it is available in Chinese. If you sign up for a reading plan, your emails that you get to remind you to keep you on track and that kind of thing, they come to you in Chinese. Anytime we'd send something out, it's all done that way. But the way that we've been able to do that isn't through simply putting a lot of money behind it and trying to, you know, hire a bunch of people to do it. We've kept our team extremely lean. Our church, you know, up until last year, our church funded all of this initiative, and we continue to fund it. Last year we had outside donors that came and said, how can we accelerate this even faster beyond it? But we do it through the power of we, which is we take the community, the people that are reading the Bible and are engaged in it, they want to participate and they want to be involved. And so right now we have about 400 active volunteers that provide tech support in different languages, do translation, some do actual development, you know, work for us. And we're on a goal of trying to get to 10,000 active volunteers. So these are people that contribute probably a minimum of 15 to 20 hours a week of their time. It's not like they just simply give an hour here, an hour there. We ask for a pretty high level of commitment, you know, from them. But these are people that are engaging in Scripture. They understand the application. They're invested in on a personal level. So they want to contribute and make it available in their heart language or in their, you know, whatever it might be that do it. And so the question that we were kind of asking at the beginning was, you know, could today's technology spark a revolution in Bible engagement? And we've tried to leverage social media technology. We've tried to leverage, you know, mobile technology, which is mobile is, by the way, very much at the core of social media. I mean, most when you talk about social media, it's hard to talk about social media and not talk about mobile in the same breath, because that's really what's fueling social media, is the fact that people can communicate from wherever they're at and not just at their desktop or their computer. But we've gone from thinking maybe we could just turn the tide of Bible engagement, or maybe hopefully slow down the decline, to actually believing that this generation, I really do have the faith to believe that this generation could be the most Bible engaged generation in history, because we've, you know, managed to see the Bible really begin to take hold and connect into this social fabric and this social network of what's there.
That was the presentation shared by Bobby Greenwell of LifeChurch.tv and YouVersion, the Bible app, at the National Conference of the Gathering back in 2011. And a word of thanks to the Gathering for permission to share an excerpt of one of their presentations with our listeners here at the Social Media Church. And if you know of people that are generous and have the capacity to give and would like to expand their vision for giving, be sure to direct them to the Gathering website at thegathering.com. And you'll definitely want to check the show notes to connect with the Gathering, as well as to see the handful of links of other great content that I found from Bobby Greenwald and his years of experience in technology and developing innovations within the church. And one of the taglines that I've heard used at Life Church is how they are developing the missional use of technology. And you'll hear that phrase in two of my previous episodes when I got to connect with Dana Byers and Alan George, both of Life Church and their online campus. And speaking of Dana Byers, she'll be going on a bloggers trip with a group of bloggers to Guatemala on behalf of Lemonade International, a community development partnership in solidarity with people in La Limonada in Guatemala City. So this team of bloggers will be blogging and taking photos, I'm sure, and Twittering about their experience in visiting the slums and the needs of people in Guatemala. So great way of using social media, and certainly a way that you can be using social media in your church context when you take mission trips and work on projects as well. Check the show notes for a link to lemonadeinternational.org to check out their blogger trip next week, April 14th to the 18th. For those of you that this talk has really spurred on your imagination and motivated you, inspired you to really engage the development of technology, even at a church level, there's two videos and a book chapter that are linked in the show notes at socialmediachurch.net. And one is a TEDx video of a talk that Bobby Greenwell shared at OU, Oklahoma University, which is the home state of lifechurch.tv. And he talked about the responsibility of technology before a live audience there. You'll want to get a sense of that and how that impacts our use of social media and the responsibility that we have. And a second video I want to bring to your attention is a talk that Bobby Grunewald gave at Q, and that's the letter Q, as in the letter before R. And the Q conference was held in Portland back in April of 2011, so about 6 months prior to the presentation at the gathering, where Bobby talked about the Bible in a technological age. And that was a more concise presentation, about 18 minutes, describing how the Bible engagement in the digital age has developed, evolved, and they are a part of that development there at lifechurch.tv and YouVersion, and really appreciate the diligence and the focus that their team has. They call it a digerati team, and they're really diligent with their time and focus and results in what they're trying to do to serve the church at large. And they have certainly accomplished a lot in just the matter of a few years. And I myself have worked 6 years at the American Bible Society, which is one of the partners in this Bible app development, along with a number of other Bible publishers and Bible societies around the world. And you can well imagine the collaborative effort it takes to be managing all of these different versions and translations of the Bible, as well as the many languages it takes to coordinate communications and development and delivery of these Bible apps. And one comment I've heard about LifeChurch.tv and YouVersion is, in the sovereignty of God, this church in Oklahoma is making more impact around the world and for the kingdom of God through this Bible app than all their church ministries combined. And I think it's a both and, but it is to just accentuate just how big this project has become as a breakthrough in technology and also a spiritual breakthrough as well. And lastly, you'll want to check out the chapter from a book titled Book, A Futuristic Manifesto. And in it, Bobby Grunewald contributes a chapter titled The Engagement Economy. Fascinating thoughts, forward thinking about innovation and how technology has developed to the degree that it is more about engagement, even more so than just content. And so some of the forward-thinking thoughts as Bobby plays his role as a pastor and innovation leader at LifeChurch.tv. I'll also mention that I started compiling a list of churches with pastors of innovation at my personal website, djchuang.com, and about 10 of them are in existence today, and perhaps one day in the near future that will double and triple, and innovation will become more and more a part of what we're doing in our churches. And for you, being a listener of the Social Media Church podcast, that puts you well ahead of the curve of the rest of the pack. And for those that are not yet listeners, subscribe and listen to the Social Media Church podcast. Again, our website is socialmediachurch.net, and this is a conversation when you join in over social media. Link to us, tweet back at us on Twitter, or reply at Facebook on our Facebook page. And you can even call in with your comments and stories of how you are using social media, and questions are welcome too. Call in on our listener line at 9493-543216, and we'll incorporate your comments and questions and stories in a future episode of the Social Media Church. That wraps up this episode of the Social Media Church podcast, the place for conversations with church leaders about social media. My name is DJ Chuang. Thank you for tuning in, and until next time, we'll stay connected online.